Hey there, everybody. It is December 1st, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
I'm Jody.
It's been so long since we've done a cold intro.
Well, yeah, I actually thought you were going to say, and there's Jody over there.
There's Jody over there. Welcome.
Hi.
It's the first Wednesday of the month. Jody's here. It is World AIDS Day.
It is
World AIDS Day. How did you commemorate World AIDS Day today?
I dedicated my work Facebook status to people who work to prevent AIDS and HIV.
Awesome.
I wasn't a part of this, but my program was at Keene State. They were part of the observances that were going on. Last night, they did a performance about what people's images and associations are with AIDS and HIV to sort of sum up their experience for the day.
There you go. Well, it's been almost 30 years since the first cases of AIDS were identified. These were some stats that I think Advocate.com put together. An estimated 33.4 million people worldwide are now living with HIV. In the U.S., there are approximately 1.1 million people living with the virus. What else we got? Since the beginning of the pandemic, almost 60 million people worldwide have been infected with HIV, and 25 million people have died of AIDS-related causes. In 2008 alone, around 430,000 children were born with HIV, bringing to 2.1 million the total number of children under 15 living with the virus. So this is very much our reality. Are you finding that your students still are in the know?
Yes, but it can be hard because they're in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And even though there's a very active AIDS organization in that region, most of them don't know anyone who is HIV positive, except for maybe the educator who comes in and talks with them about his experience and talks with them in general about HIV and AIDS. But if you were to ask him, like, do you know anyone, that he would probably be the only one they would say, oh yeah, the guy who came in and talked with us about his experience. So it's hard. It's definitely something that they think about. And my high school troop, they were wondering, why aren't we doing something this year? Why aren't we doing something this year? And we were focusing on another issue that we were asked to do. So that was why the high school group wasn't doing it, but at least we were doing something.
Yeah, for the peer health education group at the college, you know, we do a different topic every week, and I try to pick relevant issues. And we have people come in from the community to talk about various health-related issues, including your lovely wife and partner who came in many, many times to talk about alcohol and drug use with gay students. And college students, not just gay students.
Again, all manner of college students.
Very gay show. I find the word gay can be inserted all over the place, and it makes a whole new story. And for the first couple semesters, I didn't do a session on HIV and AIDS. Uh-huh. And then I figured, all right, well, there's an alum, and he lives in the area, and he works with HIV and AIDS prevention.
Right.
And I booked him, and I said, well, why don't you come in and talk to the students? And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this is dumb. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this is a little bit cheesy because they're going to know everything. It's HIV and AIDS, and they know. It was probably one of the best sessions we've ever done just because I was floored by how much they did not know and how little they'd engaged on the topic of HIV and AIDS. Well, there are some cool people doing some really cool things to combat AIDS. This was one of my favorite stories today. Today, some 500 hairdressers from across the country are trading in their shears for red ribbon themed accessories and flip cams to pound the pavement in support of the U.S. launch of Hairdressers Against AIDS, a global campaign sponsored by the L'Oreal Foundation in partnership with UNESCO and the Global Business Coalition on HIV and AIDS, TB and malaria. Sponsors call it perhaps the largest HIV and AIDS mobilization campaign in U.S. history.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And acknowledge that it took some time to prepare this global but grassroots campaign for the complex American market. That is Hairdressers Against AIDS, and you can look them up at www.hairdressersagainstaidsusa.com.
This is really cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
People doing some great stuff out there. So it is World AIDS Day, but you can make every day World AIDS Day by doing something, raising some awareness. It's still very important.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play some music for you all. This is Guest Requested, and enjoy.
Hey, slow it down. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? For me, what do you want from me? There's nothing wrong with you. It's me. I'm a freak. But thanks for loving me. Cause you're doing it perfectly. Yeah, there might have been a time when I would let you slip away. I wouldn't even try, but I think you could save my life. I won't let you down.
That was Adam Lambert. What do you want from him? He would like to know. So kind of a big week for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Did you see all this?
Not exactly. I feel like I've been in a cave for a little while. All so. Right.
Well, let me welcome you out of the cave with some Don't Ask, Don't Tell news.
Okay.
We don't often, and we can say, we've guests in the studio right now. You're going to hear their interview next week. Say hi, Nathan.
Hello.
Marquise, we'll give you some airtime. Say hello.
There
you go. We'll edit that out. So they're here in the studio. But the big report. So they distributed this report to all the active service members and I think inactive service members. And will having gays in the military, out gays in the military, affect readiness, will affect your ability to serve the country? No. The answer is no. They found that no, it won't.
And shocking.
Shocking. Shocking. I know you want to die for your country, but you're gay. But so they found that, no, it really had a negligible effect. I'm not even going to read the study. Rachel Maddow was saying yesterday, oh, yeah, well, this is irrefutable. This is clear. We should have gays in the military. All right. So what's going to happen now? What's going to happen next? What are the Republicans going to say? And then today, it's my favorite story.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this today?
No.
Republicans today?
No.
Did you hear about that? They're in a van.
Cave, van, kind of the same thing.
Well, the news for today, all 42 GOP senators have signed a letter from Mitch McConnell to House Majority Leader Harry Reid saying that they are going to block all legislation, including repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, if the Bush tax cuts aren't extended. So, all right. We have this study. We're waiting on the study. For the past couple months, it's been, well, we have to wait on the study. I'm a Republican, and we need to know what the study says. The studies say that gays can be out of the military and still kill people. And finally, the study came out, and the study said, this is fine. This will be fine. And we are the Republicans. What do? We're not going to vote on anything. And I don't know. Do we think this was because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I think it was.
I think so. And they're taking all their toys out of the sandbox.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
It's not cool.
No, it's not. Cool.
Have you guys, you got to get closer to the mic, Nathan. You're back on the show. This is what happens when you guys hang out in the studio. Have you guys had, you guys will hear next week from I'm from Driftwood on next week's podcast, but it's a really cool site and we'll talk about it next week. But have you guys, in gathering stories from all over the U.S., any Don't Ask, Don't Tell stories?
Yes, not so much on the tour because their face would be on there and Don't Ask, Don't Tell isn't repealed yet. So, but we do have a lot of written stories from currently serving military people. And There's one in particular that really stands out, and it was because it showed me the personal connection of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the personal impact. He and his boyfriend were both in the military. One was being sent off to Iraq, and one was being sent off to Afghanistan. And they were at the area where, you know, everyone says goodbye to their spouses. The bus is about to pick them up and mm-hmm. take them away and to go to war. And they were sitting there right next to each other in uniform and surrounded by wives hugging and crying, you know, and children and everyone saying goodbye. And they were just sitting next to each other. They couldn't touch. They both had sunglasses on because they were crying. And they said goodbye with a handshake. And he went and got on the bus, and the other one got in his truck and drove home, and then bawled, you know, right when he, of course, got in the truck. But it's just it's the personal stories that really just make all this make sense and makes right. you take a step out and realize that this isn't political, you know. It's like there are individual human beings, right. Americans, being affected by this, and this is how they're being affected.
Can I just say, because she's heard me say this week in, week out, it's not really my, don't ask, don't tell, not really my issue. Sure, I think gays should be able to kill people too, but it's not my, oh, is that not? Serve openly.
Serve openly.
That's what I said. But it's not really my thing, and I have never been so swayed as with that story. I'm from Driftwood.com. Look at that. Shout outs yeah. every week
yeah.
on this show. You guys, have you been to Illinois yet with the tour?
Yes, we went to Chicago.
Oh, you went to Chicago. Well, big Illinois news today. News hole, right? You've seen nothing.
I've seen nothing.
Okay.
So.
The Illinois State Senate today passed a civil unions bill by a vote of 32-24.
Oh, God.
Following the House's approval of the legislation yesterday. Governor Pat Quinn has pledged to sign the bill, which will take effect in July. So we got to wait a little bit. Illinois joins 11 other states in the District of Columbia in providing some form of relationship recognition to same-sex couples through marriage, civil unions, or domestic partnerships. Unmarried opposite-sex couples will be eligible for civil unions in Illinois as well. Representative Greg Harris, a gay Democrat from Chicago, spoke passionately in favor of the bill in the House, saying, quote, "We have a chance here, as leaders have had in previous generations, to correct injustice and to move us down the path toward liberty." That's pretty good.
That is good.
These are good things.
That's really good, yeah.
Well, I was going to say we like civil unions, but we rail against civil unions, too.
It's, I mean...
Or as civil unions, or as we like to call them in Vermont, not marriage. That's the Latin.
I see.
Not marriages.
I mean, it's definitely a separate but equal kind of thing. Okay. However, what's different about the Illinois one is that unmarried straight couples can do that.
Indeed.
And that's really, I think that's actually a cool thing, because that makes it more similar to a lot of what other countries do, where marriage can, in a lot of instances, there's two forms. There's the civil form, and then there's the religious form. And the mm-hmm. religious form, the religions can do whatever they want if they feel like, no, we don't allow that, or yes, we do. But the one that actually counts for the state is the state one. And so anyone who wants a religious one has to get married twice.
Yeah.
Anyone in a lot of those countries.
But that means you get to register twice.
Well...
True. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
This is where my mind goes. And I see now that's not the civil rights issue, but that's where I am.
Okay.
That's where I am. All right. We're going to play one more song for y'all. This is my favorite song of the moment. My favorite song, my favorite video of the moment. If you've not seen this video, you must check this out. Enjoy.
Slam, slam, oh hot damn. don't you understand? Wish you just freak out.
Freak out already.
Can't stop coming in hot. I should be locked up right on the spot. It's so on right now.
It's so fucking on right now.
Bloody crasher, panty snatcher. Call me up if you a gangster. Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. And all the right ways are underdogs. We will never be anything but loud. And nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your glass? Just come on and raise your glass. Won't you come on and raise your glass?
Is empty. That sucks.
So if you're too school for cool,
I mean,
and you treat it like a fool, you can choose to let it go. We can always party on our own. So raise your
It's time to welcome a guest. You ready to welcome a guest, Jody?
Absolutely.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
Yes.
That's always a good thing. I always get worried that one time they're going to say, no, I'm not ready to be welcomed. I don't know what we're going to do. All right. Well, Equally Wed Magazine is the nation's premier same-sex wedding magazine, providing gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender couples with a modern, elegant, and unique guide to gay wedding planning, from ring shopping and proposing to tying the knot and living happily ever after and everything in between. Here tonight is Equally Wed's editor-in-chief, Kirsten Palladino. Kirsten, welcome to this show, It's So Gay.
Thank you so much for having me.
What an absolute treat. I have to tell you, I don't know that we've ever been so excited for a guest. We have so much to talk about. Tell everyone, for people who do not know Equally Wed Magazine, tell us all about how great this magazine is. How did you come to work for this magazine?
Well, my wife and I were trying to plan our own wedding in Georgia in 2008, and I'm an editor, journalist by trade, and she's a graphic designer. And we were completely shocked and surprised and dismayed to not find anything on gay weddings in the traditional consumer bridal magazines out there. And it made it more difficult for us to plan our own wedding as far as finding vendors that were gay-friendly and also just seeing couples like us reflected in the pages. So we decided to, once we had tied the knot, to launch our own magazine.
Look at that.
And do it for the rest of the couples out there.
And I can only imagine that the response has been quite overwhelming.
It has been. It's been overwhelming not only from the gay community, but from the straight community as well. All across the country and across the world, just people reaching out to us and saying thank you and just applauding what we're doing. It's really exciting for us.
Well, the question on everyone's mind, is there a difference, Kirsten, between a gay wedding and a straight wedding?
Absolutely not. Love is love.
Love is love.
The approach, you know, can be a little different sometimes for vendors. It's just that vendors need to kind of have a knowledge, either not necessarily that it's different, but that it's the same, that they don't need to approach it that differently, but that they don't need to assume that people are going to fall into a certain gender role either.
And have you found that vendors who maybe weren't so out there are really coming out and saying, oh, I want to do gay weddings and I want to work with gay weddings more than straight weddings?
Well, we found that some vendors are, you know, some vendors are always after the dollar, but then some vendors are about lifting up the gay community and supporting marriage equality and hadn't necessarily considered the gay market, but now are interested in getting involved because they do believe in marriage equality and they want to know how, you know, to reach the gay audience.
Okay. I just think, you know, we talk about gay marriage quite a bit on this show, and I always think about, as I think about planning my own nuptials, which by the end of this interview, Kirsten, I expect that you will have planned this out for me. That's, you know, it's a consulting service and a guest spot on a radio show. So it's really, it's a bit of a combo platter. It's a bit of a combo platter. But I was thinking that I just feel like I have more opportunities, and you can tell me that I'm wrong, that I have just more opportunities as someone who's gay in the range of different weddings that I can do, you know, that I just feel like my brother and my sisters never would have considered because, okay, this is how you do it, and this is what traditional looks like. And I just feel like, well, gosh, I have so many more opportunities at my disposal.
It's true. You know, because we are setting a new precedent, it's not that gay weddings haven't ever happened before, and, you know, gay couples were getting married in under the guise of commitment ceremonies for decades, but there is no norm, and we get to set it. We get to do whatever we want.
Now, what was yours like, Kirsten?
Ours was very, very traditional. We're a traditional couple. You know, Maria wore a white suit. I wore a white gown. She waited at the altar with our minister for me. I took her last name. Everything about it was fairly traditional. You know, we had the rehearsal dinner the night before with our family and friends. We had about 75 guests in an outdoor garden ceremony and reception with a lot of personal touches. But, you know, I threw my bouquet and Maria had a groom's cake, but we called her a broom.
Nice.
More groom, so we called her a broom, and that really stuck with our vendors and our family and friends, and it's actually picked up on the magazine, and other people have started calling, you know, there instead of it two brides, it's sometimes bride and broom, and that's only for certain couples that it works, but so we got her a big crab cake because she's a Cancer, and she likes crab legs and stuff like that, so we did that kind of stuff, and then we went on a honeymoon in St. Martin.
Lovely.
And which was a really gay-friendly island. And,
yeah.
But that was another thing for us, for researching our own honeymoon. We didn't know where it was safe to go, and so we had to do an extensive amount of research, and so we've, you know, that's one thing that we've honed in on at Unequally Wed, is to shine a light on gay-friendly places and the not-so-gay-friendly places where it's actually illegal to enter in the country as a homosexual.
Oh.
Like Belize.
Oh.
Hmm.
I don't want to go there for my honeymoon.
Right? It's not that they're going to arrest you at the gate, but just to know that they have that law in the books, you don't really want to support a country like that.
No. No, I don't. Now, Jody, my co-host Jody, you recently got married, did you not?
Yes. Well, kind of again, since we had a civil union and then the law changed, and in order to have the piece of paper say marriage instead of civil union, you had to have another ceremony.
Now, which part of the process would you have liked Kirsten to swoop in and take over? Where was Kirsten most needed in this process? Because I'm having her plan my whole thing, so you can just identify just one
piece. I think, actually, what would be... Now, between the two events... The first time around, we did this elaborate invitation process, uh-huh. which worked out really well the first time because it was a very... And then the second time, I tried doing an Evite thing, and I don't think it was as effective. So I think invitation consulting on the cheap, though, because okay. this was not a big thing. We didn't want it to be big. And I think it was beautiful. Like what happened, I was there. It was a beautiful day. Exactly, you were there. We had great food. The people who were there were, yeah. it was perfect. It was really perfect. But the invitation process was the piece that was a little,
okay. All right, Kirsten, yeah. Invitations on the cheap. Go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would suggest, you know, making your own. You can go to Michael's and get every single thing that you need. You don't, need, you know, to go through any stationer or even an online invitation company if you're trying to do it completely on your own. There are templates online that you can download to print out onto your own cardstock, and you know, as long as you line it up evenly and, you know, check your, cross your T's and make sure that, you know, it's consistent with spelling and fluidity, it, you can make them gorgeous at home.
All right.
Even with stamps, or you can go as crafty as you like.
Look at that. All right. So when you do this a third time, this is, you're going to go to Michael's.
Right.
This is what you're going to do.
And we actually, the first time, that is exactly what we did. We got some nice paper, and we did make them ourselves, and it was, but we had a lot more time.
Yes.
And this time around, for various reasons, we didn't have as much time, which is why we did an Evite.
Right.
I just wasn't as happy with the results on the Evite.
Yeah.
So
did you get a lack of response on the Evite? Was that what you were
saying? A little bit, yeah. It was some of it. As much as I know that some of our friends are online all the time, there are a lot of family members who totally aren't, and still some other friends of mine who really aren't. That isn't where they are, and that's not how they communicate. And so I had to do a lot of supplementary emails, or even phone calls, or if I could see them. By the way, did you get it? And if you didn't,
by the way, come to my wedding.
Please come. Well, we were framing it as a 10-year anniversary party. And vow renewal, because we already felt like we did it the first time. It was the big thing, and with over 100 people, and so we didn't want it to be the wedding.
So, Kirsten, what kind of planning time do you recommend for couples?
It's still typical to take 18 months to plan your wedding, but it can be done in 9 to 6. I say under 6 is really tough, because the vendors that you really want, your choice vendors, are often already booked. So that's where the main thing that gets problematic, and also your venue. Sometimes they book a year out in advance. But if you're doing it at your home, and you know, you're having a lot of DIY things with your friends helping out, then you can do it in less time.
Okay. All right. Now, Kirsten, I adore, as do our listeners, because it's like a weekly segment at this point where we talk about Kirsten's wedding advice. It just provides great fodder for people to talk about. How did you come to do this column on 365gay.com?
Well, they reached out to me. I was already answering etiquette questions on equallywed.com, and they reached out. So now it's syndicated on their site as well. And
love it.
Really enjoy, you know, reaching a new readership and finding out what people would think. Their comments are very interesting, because a lot of these people that are reading the column on 365gay.com are not necessarily engaged or getting married, have any plans to get married. But, you know, obviously people will comment on anything. So it's yeah. Really funny.
We have found that to be true.
Yeah.
We have found that to be a constant, Kirsten. So I have to go through some of my favorite questions, and obviously you don't have to give word for word your answers, but you have gotten some really funny questions.
Yes, I agree.
And I would imagine there are some that you haven't even printed that you've received that have been quite entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right, we'll leave it there. All right, so let me ask some of my favorite questions. Kirsten, is peeling a garter off in my fiancé's teeth too much?
I know. We got that one through Facebook, and I was tickled pink about it, because, you know, the fact that even if you have to ask that, maybe it is too much. You know,
there you go.
Just imagining your grandmother's face while you're doing this, because a wedding is generally, you know, a family affair. It's not just your buddies that you drink with.
Look at that. Now, do Kirsten, I am just say that I'm anonymous. This is not me, because my brother is very supportive. Do I have to invite my homophobic brother to my wedding?
Right. Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's such a personal preference, but I think weddings are such a bonding of family that you really want to look at the long-term goals of what you want to do with your wedding. Are you trying to heal relationships? Are you trying to prove a point to your brother? Do you want him to see this opportunity, to seize the opportunity as for him to see what's going on in your life and who you love and the next step that you're taking together?
Okay. All right.
Give him the opportunity to turn it down, but be the bigger person sometimes.
Now, the big drama, as you well know, and you already referenced it a little bit earlier, the big drama around weddings, Kirsten, what the heck do we do with our last name?
Right, absolutely.
And we've, my partner and I have had this conversation, and it's really, we've had it in particular, and we're not at the point of the show yet where you will plan our wedding. We're getting there, though. but as we are imminently adopting and talking about what our son's name is going to be in 3 months, what is last? We're having
a boy in 3 months.
We are having a baby boy in February.
Congratulations.
Thank you. start thinking about whether or not we should be doing a wedding with a baby. Just start thinking about that, but we're not there yet. But we've been talking so much just about, okay, so what do we do with his last name and what do we do with our last names? And everybody has a different opinion.
Absolutely. They do.
And I regret asking.
I haven't been afraid to tell you
yes.
what their opinion is.
But I'm asking for yours.
Oh, great. Well, my partner and I are expecting twin boys.
Oh, yay!
So I'm carrying.
Oh, congratulations. When did you say?
Thank you. In March.
Oh, well, are they going to be Pisces babies like ours?
We're hoping, but, you know, they could be Aries.
Okay. I mean, those people are okay, I guess.
They're a little more fiery. That's all I'm worried about.
Okay.
A little more stubborn, too.
That was the preeminent most important reason why I wanted to take my wife's last name.
Okay.
Because we wanted our kids to have the same last name as us. I grew up in a divorced household, so always not having the same last name as my mom really bothered me. And so that was one thing that we didn't want for our kids. And the other thing is because we're here in Georgia where we don't get that legal document from our state government saying that we are married. Me having her last name is all we have.
Right.
And so that's our statement to the world that we're a family unit.
Okay.
But not everybody feels like that. A lot of people don't feel like it's important. Most of the women in my family didn't take their husband's last names. And I support everybody's right to choose.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Because, yeah, some people are creating a new last name, and people have suggested that for us, and none of the combinations have worked out.
No, they're not good.
Our two last names, they just don't combine well, Kirsten.
No.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, and the thing about hyphenation is, when does it end? I mean, what if, you know, if your kid then has a hyphenated name, and then he marries a girl or guy with a hyphenated name, and then, I mean, where does that stop?
Right. Oh, crud, I didn't really think about that. But it's tough because I will be very upfront. I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Just the thought of giving up my last name, I don't know what to do with that because it's something that, and I am sure this is a function of my male privilege. So I'm owning that. But it's just something that I never thought about before. And then even when we agreed, okay, we're going to do hyphenation, well, whose name comes first? And if there's no hyphen, then will Andrew's last name be considered the middle? A lot of drama.
It's so tough. It really is. And I went through a big identity crisis as a journalist. You know, my name's been out there for 10 years with my maiden name. And just to drop that was tough. But then to have it in my middle name byline, I just decided just to make the leap and deal with the identity crisis on my own. But it was tough, you know. And that's why it's such a personal decision.
Mm. Well, one of the things that I'm fascinated by, the questions that people pose to you and some of the stories that I see on the site, it's remarkable to me. One of the differences that I feel that I've seen with gay weddings and compared to straight weddings, just in these different stories, are the degree to which gay couples go out of their way to prepare their family for what they're about to see, which is just fascinating to me because I don't really see that happening so much with straight couples. But from the different questions you get, is that something that you're seeing? Am I totally making that up?
No, absolutely. You know, a lot of couples who are engaged for years because they don't know how to tell their families that they're going to get married. Their families may not even know that they're living with somebody of the same gender, but that's it. That's where they think their family's knowledge ends. And so, or they just don't think that their families can handle it. You know, it's okay if you want to live with that person. And if you want to bring them to Christmas gatherings or holiday, you know, things, but they feel that there's a line drawn there,
right.
and the families aren't going to understand or respect it.
Okay.
It's just tough.
Yeah. Because I've thought about that because my parents don't when we've talked about it before. So when I go home, you know, when I go home to New Jersey and I walk into the living room, there are, I have two sisters and a brother, and there are three wedding pictures sitting there. You know, I've been with my partner for 9 years now, and the picture's not there. And we often talk about this, and my mom could not be more supportive. But the idea of a wedding, that it's the wedding that really validates the relationship, is just something that I never really thought about before.
Absolutely. Well, do you think that your mom would put a wedding picture up of you guys?
I think she would.
Well, good.
Yeah, I think she would. Which then dovetails nicely into the crux of this show, which I am now calling this segment, Kirsten, Plan My Wedding. So it's a new segment. We'll do it every week. congratulations again on expecting twins. This is so exciting. So we have a baby boy who's going to be in our lives in mid-February, and
wonderful.
And we have the, what do we have? Vermont. We have a civil union.
Yes, you have a civil union at the moment.
I have a civil union. I had to think. I always have to check. And I feel I have the Vermont Civil Union, and I have the Westchester Domestic Partnership. I'm still proud of that because it gets us a discount at Rye Playland. It's very exciting.
Oh.
So we have a baby on the way in February, and we had often said, we've been saying for a spell now that if we were going, we will do a wedding. So when we do a wedding, we were thinking, okay, we have a baby on the way. We would want to wait until the baby's here and involve the baby in some way. But it also strikes me that might be a recipe for disaster.
Right. Well, it could, you know, it depends on how much you trust your friends, because you obviously won't be able to hold your baby the whole wedding. And so if you have somebody that you can really count on to be the person who takes care of the baby throughout the wedding, so that you don't have to constantly be concerned, you know, like, is that my son crying? Does he need me? Do I need to change his diaper? You know, you want your focus to be on, you know, the union between you and Andrew, right?
Yes.
But I think that there are plenty of ways to, you know, involve him and then be able to take him out of the ceremony when you guys need to just focus on yourselves, you know, but be able to bring, you know, have a friend bring him up when, you know, your officiant wants to talk about tying the family bond together.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on his age, too. You know, if you're going to do it right out the gate, you know, 1 month old or, you know, a year, that, you know, he might be able to participate a little bit more if you waited just a little while.
Okay. This is important.
You know, like, trying to think of different ways that a one-year-old could be involved. Obviously, I haven't had kids yet, so I'm not sure what they're capable of, you know, at that age. But I think that there would be a couple of different ways that, you know, getting him to just, you know, kind of have his
right
hand in it.
So what I hear you saying then is that Jody should serve in that role and be holding the baby, because that's what I heard.
Right.
That's
absolutely what I was saying.
Okay. Because there's a lot of pressure on this wedding. You know, I have no doubt, obviously, we'll be on the cover of Equally Wed magazine, and it's a big feature story, Vermont. Although I guess a Vermont wedding isn't really a feature story.
Not anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's okay. All right. Coolest wedding story you've heard lately, Kirsten?
I'm sorry?
Coolest wedding story you've heard lately.
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the weddings that we just planned in our fall issue, I love, is it's a Francophile wedding, the San Francisco couple, but they decided to get married up in Montreal so that it was legally recognized, and they brought in all these different wonderful Montreal vendors, and it's just so creative. I love it when creative people get involved and their friends get involved, and they made all these like paper mache flowers to hang from the ceiling of this gallery, and it was just gorgeous. Like, all the food was made with love. Like, they had these red heart-shaped beets on the salads. Everything was just
very cool.
So romantic.
Oh.
You know, it wasn't just the steak and the chicken and, you know, potatoes au gratin. And it was just there's something special, you know, just putting thought into every single element of the wedding.
All right, Jody, you are holding the baby, and I kind of also need you to carve out heart-shaped beets.
How about I organize your potluck reception?
Well, now, this is an interesting thing, Kirsten, because First of all, how do we feel about vegetarian weddings?
Oh, all for it.
Yay. Okay. Now, how do we feel? See, that's funny that you just said that, Jody, because I casually mentioned to my mother, uh-huh. what about a potluck wedding?
Uh-huh.
It didn't go well.
That's unfortunate because my wife and I, we had a potluck reception and we did it as a planned thing. So we sent out the cards and said, if you're willing to cook, please contact us or say yes on the card and we'll call you. And we had conversations with everyone who said yes. And we had a set menu so that we would consistently get, you know, we were going to have chicken and we were going to have a fruit salad right. of your choice and green beans, almondine, and I think something else. And then a couple other little things. And we asked specific folks who were vegetarian to make vegetarian okay. main dishes so that we had everything that we wanted, nothing weird, not too much of anything and not too little of anything. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And all of our friends are brilliant cooks who wanted to do it. And all the food was yummy. All
right.
And it was fantastic. And then since then, Jen and I end up getting asked to help out with other people's potluck receptions.
You could be a vendor in Eat, Sleep, Read magazine.
We have like sort of the small, like people recommend us to do yeah. it.
All right. What about coolest gift that we can get the couple these days, Kirsten?
Oh, I love this. It's a company, and I've written about it on my blog. I can't remember the name exactly, but it's a company out of Canada that they take all these pictures, industrial and also in nature, where they'll find different letters. They make up letters. It could be a daisy blowing in the wind, but it looks like an L. And and then the two people are forming one last name, forming the last name with these photographs.
I love that.
That's really cool.
Really beautiful. This is your new family name kind of gift, but it's so cheap. That's what I love about it. It's only $30 to ship from Canada, and each letter is like $5, and the framing is what costs. But for Paladino, I think it was only like $130 or something, really cheap. And so they're still an up-and-coming company. I think that's why it's so low, but really affordable gift and just a gorgeous presentation.
Kirsten, you're like an
photography.
Kirsten, you're like an expert.
Oh,
I love it. That's such a well. I get the same gift. I get the same gift for every single couple, straight, gay. I do, you know, because most of my friends, I guess almost all the weddings I've ever been to have been in New York City or in Boston, and so I get them. Both Boston and New York City have the where you can just get a gift certificate that they can use at any of, you know, 20, 30 restaurants that just guarantees them a night out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they can choose. You can choose from tons and tons of different restaurants.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's I don't know. What do we think about people who give cash at weddings, Kirsten?
I think that the couple loves it. everybody else might think it's tacky.
There you go. Yes. No, cash is nice. Okay. But it's not... Where's the thought? We need some more thought.
Right, absolutely. The eras have changed. People are registering for their honeymoons, and while, Aunt Joni still thinks that's tacky, but the couple really needs the help because most couples are paying more for their own weddings now.
Yeah.
And, but you still want to have that celebration after the wedding.
I mean, obviously we give within our means and people need to realize where they're at. But what is the going rate these days?
You know, it depends. One thing that I've been told is that it's kind of like what you think a place setting might cost at that wedding, you know, and some people might only be spending $20 a person
okay.
on a wedding, where some people are spending $100 a person on a wedding. So what I have always understood it to be is like $50 a person is kind of, you know, the going rate. But it also depends on how close you are to that person,
right.
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, we got to talk about your musical selections for the night. We got to talk about this is the fun part. Kirsten, this is the part where you tell our listening audience what the music that you have chosen says about Kirsten Paladino.
Oh, God.
I know. This is the fun part. Although this is really interesting because I didn't think of some of these songs in this way. I'll only make you do a couple of them. What does Pink's Raise Your Glass, which I said earlier in the show is by far my current favorite song at the moment. What does Pink's Raise Your Glass say about Kirsten Paladino?
Well, I think, you know, from an early age, I've always had a big heart for the underdog. I've probably always been the underdog too, but just really cared, a lot more about people that are either having, a harder time in life mm-hmm. or just have certain struggles. And certainly with the wave of suicides from bullying of gay teens, it just means a lot more to me that she came out with that song right now. I think it's very timely.
Yeah.
It gives me, chills and tears in my eyes generally when I listen to that song, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen the video?
Yes.
Oh, so enjoyable.
It's awesome.
So enjoyable. All right. Now this time I'm not going to ask you about a specific song because, and this is rare that a guest chooses a genre. And for the first time in 104, 105 shows, our guest, Kirsten Paladino, has chosen the genre of Christmas music. What, Kirsten, what does that say about you?
It says I'm cheesy and... and I've been listening to Christmas music since mid-November. It could have to do with the fact that I have two little boys growing in my belly.
Yay.
And, just getting all parental and can't wait to have little babies to celebrate Christmas with. I'm just really into family and just special times and anything that, makes it more, warm and fuzzy, the better.
Okay. Now, how do we feel about Christmas weddings?
I personally, as a guest, resent anything that has to do with holidays, and I think that that's the majority of people. When an invitation has to do with Memorial Day or Christmas or Hanukkah or anything that you want to have that special time with your family and friends, you don't want to pick up and fly to, say, Vermont for somebody else's wedding.
Exactly.
But I think that themed weddings are great, like if you want to do a winter wedding in the middle of December, it'd be wonderful.
Okay.
And though I do love cheesy, I'm not about Santa and elves at a wedding.
Not even for the broom?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Especially not for the broom.
Okay, I'm breaking out of the box. I should let you know that you gave me some latitude here. So the Christmas song that I chose for the night is going to be Sleigh Ride by Debbie Gibson.
Wonderful.
So I just wanted to tell that to you. All right, so where should all of our listeners go to learn more about Equally Wed magazine?
Oh, equallywed.com.
Perfect. Perfect.
And we have a Facebook page, too, so find us there.
Oh, well, Kirsten, it is an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I mean, this is a really, obviously there's so much lightheartedness to weddings and there's so much fun to them, and hopefully it should be fun, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, just checking.
It should be the most fun.
Yeah, but then at the same time, this is a really topical issue, and I very much appreciate the work that you guys are doing with the magazine to say, look, this is important to us. Marriage equality is important to us. Planning an event that's important to you is important to us. And let's just get together and celebrate. And I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing.
Thank you so much, Ken and Jody. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Kirsten, all the best. You keep publishing that magazine.
Yeah.
Kirsten, also, huge congratulations.
You too. Thank you.
Now, are you telling people names?
We're not. Just,
I wish I had known that.
You never know.
I wish we did, and yeah.
Can't go back now.
Well, it's not that, and people, gosh, people have a lot of opinions, as it turns out, on all sorts of different things.
They do, and even if they don't say anything, then the silence is an opinion.
No, they've been saying things. Yeah, no. Oh, the name and cloth diapers and co-sleeping and yeah.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
Yeah.
The opinions are crazy and
yes.
Not from people that have kids either.
And I'm not even showing, Kirsten. So anyway, all right. Well, Kirsten, all the best. Huge congratulations to you and your partner and all the best for a great holiday season.
Thank you so much. You too, Ken.
Thanks, Kirsten.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a treat.
Yeah.
What a treat.
Definitely.
Are you going to do another wedding? Now, what if you move to a state? You guys are never leaving Vermont.
Probably not.
Okay. What if, hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
If you moved to Georgia. And then they got marriage equality, and your employer said, well, in order to have your lovely wife, Jen, I just feel like on the show I need to say your lovely wife, Jen. If they said you need to be married in the state of Georgia in order to have her on your benefits, would you then get married?
Well, I mean, we would probably do whatever we needed to do.
But you would make it paperworky.
But it would probably be paperworky because at that point, I mean, if it's, especially if it's not like any kind of milestone, if it's going to be like, I don't know,
number 14.
Yeah, which doesn't, I mean, is wonderful. Every year is wonderful and is it's in itself a milestone of a kind. But if it's not going to be like 15 or 20 or something like that, I don't think we're going to do something big, because we want it to, because we already did the big.
We haven't done the big.
Yeah, you haven't done the big. So
we did a little tiny civil union with the two of us, three people, and my friend Ann Ryder who did the ceremony.
So you need the big this time. I mean, if you want it, obviously.
And I should say, even though I think this is against all community radio rules, if you're looking for a justice of the peace, Ann Ryder, so good.
Cool.
That's the plug for Anna.
Okay.
All right. Well, guys, there are so many. What a fun show.
Yeah.
This was a fun show. So many different ways to get in touch with your friends here at This Show Is So Gay. Please, please, as always, send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Every single email you send gets answered. Give us ideas for guests. Tell us what's on your mind. Share your stories. Whatever you want to share with us. You love the show. Love the show. I'm not presenting an alternative to that.
Okay.
Please send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com and hear podcasts and learn about upcoming guests, amazing upcoming guests. We're going to be talking with the I'm From Driftwood folks next week, along with Kate Clinton.
That's really cool.
That is a guest.
Yeah.
That is a guest. And then the week after that, Ann Northrup from Gay USA, a show that I have been watching for decades. So I'm really excited about that. And as always, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, and please like us because we like to be liked. And that's it for us. So we're going to play a little Sleigh Ride by Deborah Gibson. And that's it for us. So get out there, folks. Go do some amazing things. Share your stories. Plan a wedding. Have a baby. Whatever you need to do, get your voice out there. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
faithful, joyful, we adore thee. Hark how the bells sing in so sweetly, and Gloria, Gloria. Deck the halls, I'll be home for Christmas. Gonna see jolly old St. Nicholas. Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I just can't wait to hold you near. Silent night, except the world is singing Gloria, Gloria. It's Christmas time in the city of a white Christmas. Well, I've been dreaming Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I just can't wait to hold you near. Lovely weather, I'd love to take a sleigh ride together with Gloria, Gloria. Gloria, Gloria. It's the most wonderful time.